Okay. Hi, there's a group of us here tonight wanting to talk about recruitment and counter-recruitment kind of issues, and there's quite a lot to talk about. I just wanted to throw out a few things to start with. If you're interested in getting out of the delayed enlistment program, or if you're having thoughts about not wanting to be in the military, there are ways to get help. One of the things everybody ought to know if they're in this position is this phone number I'm about to give, so get something out. It's called the GI Rights Hotline, and it's 800-394-9544. That's 800-394-9544. And they have experienced people there, whether you're in the military and are having issues, if you're trying to go for conscientious objector status, either to stay out or to get out, or if you think that you've already committed yourself, it turns out you can get out of a delayed enlistment kind of a contract. And it's relatively simple, but you just have to know how to do it. The other thing is a couple of websites I want to refer you to. One of the really good ones for nuts and bolts issues is just called objector.org or objector.org. Another one that talks about issues, so if you really don't know your own mind on this subject yet and are just thinking about what are all the issues on war and peace and your role in it, there's another website called quaker.org/CO, as in conscientious objector. So www.quaker.org/CO. And that was what I wanted to contribute, is just give you some practical starting points if you want to find out something like that. If you go to the quaker.org site there, the .co/CO, there are links to quite a few other resources as well.
Well, people may be wondering, why are we so concerned about recruiting? We're especially concerned about recruiting of high school students who are easily influenced by what recruiters tell them. A lot of high school students, one of the big reasons that people go into the military, and we hear all this about, well, this is a volunteer military. Nobody is forced to go into the military. Well, that's strictly true. There is an economic draft. There are many low-income kids who feel that they really have no opportunity, no other opportunity other than to join the military, and that might give them the ability to then get an education, especially with GI Bill. And they, maybe their father or mother or uncle had gone to school on GI Bill. And one thing that people ought to be aware of is GI Bill is not what it used to be at all. The new GI Bill is called the Montgomery GI Bill, and the average participant in the Montgomery GI Bill actually receives less money than a student who simply receives a Pell Grant and a Stanford loan, or Stafford loan. The Montgomery GI Bill is only offered to enlistees who go into certain fields, especially high-risk fields. It's not available to everyone. And according to the Veterans Administration, only about 35% of veterans receive the GI Bill funds for college, and only 15% ever graduate. In comparison, 70% of the students who apply for civilian financial aid and receive help paying for college. So the civilian financial aid is actually much more likely to help students get into college and through college and actually graduate.
There's a couple of the reasons I'm concerned about this issue is is that there's two reasons. One main reason, and that is in regards to the issue of informed consent. Teenagers at this stage of their development, they're very prone to believing they're invincible. That's why you have problems with things like drunk driving at this age of development, and because they don't think anything bad's going to ever happen to them, and they don't really face reality maybe the way they should, and the recruiters play on this, and that's why they go for this age group. Parents, I feel, need to be particularly protective of their teenagers because they're signing away a good proportion of their lives, and they're going to be asked to either give up their life or to take the lives of others. And they may lose their health, their mind, their parts of their body in the process. This is a big deal, and parents need to be very concerned that they're receiving correct information and that their children are not being talked into things that are not good for them. Especially with Mother's Day coming up in May, I think women in particular need to be very protective of their children. Mother's Day was initially a day of peace. And remember, when you're sending your child off to war, you're sending your child off to kill the children of other women. And it's something to really think seriously about and protect your children. That was my concern.
A bit of chillingly grim information that I've turned up the last month or two is the fact that the government and military have increased the death benefits of soldiers, military people killed in combat zones, i.e. Iraq and Afghanistan, from $12,500 to $250,000. I find this appalling. Basically, it's a buyout. It's telling these low socioeconomic kids, listen, Ramon, you're worth more dead than alive. And your wife, your young wife with the child, or your mother's going to get 250 grand. So don't worry about being whacked, you know, on the streets of Baghdad, because things are going to be taken care of back home. And I find that horrific.
Well, I think it's basically a truth in advertising thing. A recruiter is a used car salesman, and there's a lot of things wrong with used cars they don't want you to know about, and so you constantly wind up with things like the Army recruiting brochure, which I've just done a content analysis on, and found that never once do they mention the words killing, wounding, dying, anything of that nature. They never mention Afghanistan and Iraq when they're talking about possible duty. In other words, they do mention Hawaii and Alaska and Europe, which are kind of fun. They have a lot of weasel words in there, a lot of weasel statements. You know, they tell you, well, yes, we'll give you this job if you sign up. But if you read the brochure and the enlistment contract carefully, you find out, well, you might be qualified for this, or you might be, or you could be qualified for that. And it's little weasel words that kids don't really understand. They think that when they sign up, they're going to get embassy duty in Paris, you know. They make it out like it's going to be a big, fun experience. They show people on the beach playing volleyball in Hawaii, but they don't, you know, they don't show you what it's like living in a hole in the ground. And killing people. And you, I think the main thing that kids don't realize that they should be made aware of is you can't just change your mind after you've signed up. You're in there and that's it. I was in Marine Corps boot camp in Parris Island, South Carolina in 1950. And we had kids that actually ran away, tried to, you know, get out of the place there because they couldn't get out. You know, and other people have tried to pretend they're homosexual to get out and everything like that. But you just tell them, I don't like this. I don't want to kill people. Too bad, Charlie, you know. They say, well, if you don't want the Army doesn't want you. But it doesn't work that way. You don't want the Army still is going to hang on to you. A couple things that I think we need to keep in line of this, you know, buying this used car, which has problems with it. You need to get recruiters' promises in writing and have a witness there at the when you're going over the papers. In fact, it'd be nice if you had a lawyer friend to go through the papers and explain to you what you're really signing on for. It's, again, a truth in advertising kind of thing. Spoken promises by a recruiter mean nothing. These people are accomplished liars. They have quotas to make. They're slick. They're polished. Their careers depend upon signing up unsuspecting teenagers that really don't know much. I mean, you think you know everything when you're 17, 18, but you don't. And I think one of the most ridiculous recruiting ploys I just ran across was recruiters in the ghetto, because they do tend to go to places where the, you know, there's a distinct economic disadvantage. And the way they're talking to people there, boys and girls, is that, well, you stand a better chance of getting killed living in this neighborhood in central Los Angeles than, you know, if you were ever in Iraq or Iran, you know. So why not sign up to go over there and you get all this money? And anyway, it's, like I say, my feeling is that I would really like to get a little truth in advertising and all this thing and get the word out what it's really like. And kids have got to realize before they sign up what they're really signing up for. So anyway, it's my two cents.
Well, I've been thinking about the press and the television, and I get really upset. Actually, I get angry. We never see the dark side of the war. We never see the wounded. We never see them coming home. I hear reports that our president has never even attended a funeral. But none of this is brought into our homes. It's not brought into our homes through the newspapers. It's not on our news. It's all in the dark, just like the soldiers that come home wounded or sick from Iraq and Afghanistan. 25,000 of them right now have all arrived after dark. The press is not allowed to talk with them or interview them. There are no pictures. There is absolutely nothing. And adults and teenagers alike are totally in the dark about this unless they happen to get on the internet or they happen to run into some alternative media somewhere that does tell them what's happening. And I wonder about what that percentage would be. I mean, is it 10%, 15% of people here who even consider what's really going on? I think we need to all think about that, and I think that this is one way to address it.
I wanted to, I started this off with a few objective resources and things, but I just wanted to close with a an item that really struck me at the end of the Vietnam War. More Vietnam veterans died from suicide after coming home from Vietnam than were killed in combat. And that's, if you think about that, it's, you know, killing people, you think, well, I just don't want to be killed. But killing people is so contrary to your humanity. It really does amazing things to your mind. And a very large fraction of those in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed as mentally ill in one way or another because of their combat participation. And the stress they're under, this 24-hour stress for the entire time they're there, together with the gruesome things that they're subjected to, and their requirement that they do things to people that any sensitive person would be totally revulsed at. And I just think that you need to say this is not a movie. This is real life kinds of things that you need to sit down and think about what this is really all about.
I think it was another myth that needs to be debunked is that a lot of kids get told, you're going to go in and you're going to get job training. It's going to help you when you get out. But it's found that people that don't go in and stay in are making a lot more money than the people that have been in, because the kind of job training you get in the military is not readily transferable to civilian life. My son joined the Army, and he spent 7 years as a missile technician. Well, there's not a whole lot of market for missile technicians on the outside. And consequently, right now, he's not making much over minimum wage, even though he's been out for 5 years. And like I say, people need to consider that the skills you learn to kill people might transfer to, you know, if you're going to become a hitman for the mafia, but they don't really transfer to much else. If you spent that time in college, you'd come out far ahead of anybody else that's, you know, that went in the military. And also the idea that a lot of people don't know about is that 3 out of 4 people that are homeless are veterans. You know, and that says it right there. The service does stuff to you, and they don't tell you about that. I don't know one recruiter that would tell you that, you know, you stand a good chance of being a suicide or, you know, living on the street. Alcoholics, drug addicts, and so forth. Yeah, they don't tell you that.
Another thing they don't tell you about is a thing called depleted uranium. I think most of us have heard now about Agent Orange. Maybe you have or haven't, but this was an herbicide they sprayed all over Vietnam in the Vietnam War days, and they sprayed it over the troops who were there in the jungle, just to clear the jungle, and they sprayed, lots of these people got sprayed all the time. In the Army and the Veterans Administration maintained that there was no harmful effect from this for 25 years or so, even though people were getting sick and dying. And it turned out it had something called dioxin in it. Well, depleted uranium has been used extensively throughout Iraq, and this has low-level radioactivity, and these shells, they're anti-armor shells, and they are incendiary, so when they hit something, they blow up, they turn into a fireball and put out very fine particles that get mixed into the sand. These are considered a weapon of mass destruction by many other countries and even by former specialists that were in the Army working with this material, and everyone over in Iraq is going to be exposed to this uranium substance to varying degrees and breathe it, and we won't know the effects for years, but there's start having lots of cancers. We do know that it causes lots of birth defects, and you won't find recruiters telling you about how you're going to be exposed to substances that can kill you or cause your children to be greatly deformed.